This podcast is brought to you by Windsor Management Insurance Brokers.
Sarah, thank you for joining me. Your thoughts firstly on Elise Kellard-Knight reaching 100 caps for Australia, a feat only 8 Matildas have achieved.
Yeah, well, it's pretty exciting. I feel like it's flashed by how quickly her career has got it to 100. I really remember it being yesterday. She debuted, but she's been such a huge part of this Matilda's transformation over the years, you know, going from, I think I can say it because I was a part of it, a team that, you know, was characterised by its never say die attitude, which is still, you know, it's still a theme of their game, but not the core of it these days. But she is definitely, you know, she's been a linchpin in the success for Matilda's over the past 10 or so years or something. Maybe a bit under 10 years.
Yeah, it's incredible. And especially given, you know, her link-up play last night with Claire Polkinghorne.
Yeah, she's been so versatile for us at a time where... she flies under the radar for this Matilda's. I think she's made defeat for 11 twice. And I was in and around the squad, working with the squad in 2015 in Canada. And look, I've got to be honest, she actually was struggling to make not just the starting lineup, but even conversations for, you know, getting off the bench. Her form was so out right before the tournament. And, there was work to be had before the tournament started. And she ended up being in the FIFA 11 at the end of it, playing a crucial role for us at left back. So she, a lot of people don't talk about that. And, you know, Sam Kerr gets a lot of the accolades, but, Elise Kellard-Knight is up there with the Clint McCallums for me in terms of technical ability. They are really, really just so crafty at what they do.
Oh, indeed they are. And we saw a bit of that last night in their match against England. Sarah, firstly, your overall assessment of the match?
Yeah, I guess mixed bag of emotions, I guess, for this one. It was, first and foremost, it's really hard to not get drawn into the match and want to absolutely win every match, and we do. That's the Australian mentality. There's no other way. But you really got to keep your eye on France in June next year. And having this discussion with Emily Van Egmond in the studio, I was actually really, really happy that she wasn't over there and she was actually resting, because she's going to play a huge part next year. Likewise for Sam Kerr, Katrina Gorry and Alana Kennedy, who, you know, need some serious rest. And they have just had the biggest year. And you just think that that's going to go a long way to making sure they're fresh leading up to that tournament. So there was a bit of that. And obviously that means that we're going to have a week inside in... you know, what you could say would be amazing preparation for those players and time for us to be cohesive as a unit and actually seriously test ourselves against the best in the world. But just didn't work like that. Equally, we got an opportunity to see some youngsters and playing on the big stage in front of huge crowds against, again, the best opposition in the world, some of. So, and they stood up. It's not to say that they're going to go on and make the squad next year. I mean, they're definitely going to put their hand up. But you could imagine if everybody's fit and raring to go with our full squad, it'll be very difficult.
And Sarah, do you think that given the fact that we do have quite a number of the main players not featuring in these two international friendlies, can you see the squad looking much different compared to what it was with these two games?
Well, you think about the four players we just rattled off. Then you've got to think about the four players that will come out of the squad. I think we're going to see a very similar lineup to what we've been accustomed to, and the really successful team in 2017, who were just a powerhouse in women's football. I'm only guessing, but I can only imagine it will look very similar to Asian Cup, unless there's some dark horses that Sag wants to rotate in and have them really experience the World Cup, but I can only imagine that they would be, you know, you talk about two players that you would want fresh in their first tournament. And if you look at the cycle in which where these players are, you know, they're all, 24, 25, the core of the squad are at a really perfect age, all playing at top-level football across the world. They're going to have a really solid W League, which would be great preparation, a couple of internationals next year, and they're ready to go. But I think now, with 9 months out, if there's niggles, and this is probably the time when you're going to give them a tiny break.
And Sarah, just touching on the idea of rotation, do you think there was a little bit of disharmony in defence last night?
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, you talk about the likes of Claire Polkinghorne, Steph Catley, they're, you know, and there's been a lot of discussion around where Stachik has been playing players. But I always ask people, I mean, of course I would love Caitlin Ford to be playing up higher. She's one of our best attacking threats. But when he had her at left back, who else would you have there if you didn't have Caitlin Ford? Yes, she's not a traditional left back, but it's very hard to argue that she's not any better than, you know, your next left back you're talking about, which I don't even know who is in that team other than Elise Kellen-Knight. But because Emily Van Egmond's out, she's been shuffled to the sixth role. You know, and then that conversely means you can't have Steph Catley at left back. So there's all this movement. I don't think Alan Sedgwick actually wants to play players out of position. You've got to ask yourself, well, who else do you have in that position? And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about having traditional left backs or traditional players in their roles. And you talk about someone like Gemma Simon or Hannah Brewer, who are really good players. But, you know, are you going to play those players in, ahead of someone like Caitlin Ford? Mm-hmm. I think you're going to balance that with picking the best squad of, you know, 20 to 23 each time. And that versatility has been our asset for a long time, but it's also almost been our detriment when you keep Caitlin Ford left back. And I like Ellie Carpenter. She's going in the right back position, but you're talking about how disjointed our back line was. I think it's got a lot more to do with my earlier factors around conditioning and the length of this season they've had. It has been huge, which again talks to, you know, the women's game trying to juggle their calendar, and majority of women play 12 months of the year. They go into, you know, in the men's game that you don't normally play in two leagues. So there's a dedicated off season outside your international windows. It's not the case in the women's game. And I'm torn because I want us to grow the W League. It's going to be huge for us, and you've got to balance that with the needs of the Matildas, which is ongoing, really.
Yeah, certainly the women's game does face challenges, but we could see that, and we know that players like Steph Catley and Ellie Carpenter really like to bomb forward. How do you kind of accommodate with that? And especially given, as you touch on, the left-back role, which Steph normally is deployed along, and the right-back position, which Ellie usually takes up, it still seems to be a little bit problematic. Our style to maybe like a back three, and then we can have them playing more as wing-backs?
Well, it's a good point that you make. I don't think Alan Sedgwick's style will ever accommodate a three at the back. But look, Steph Catley's one of the best left backs in the world, and I think if you were to actually put your best starting 11 on paper, I don't know, I'd be hard pressed to find anyone that doesn't agree Steph Catley's one of the best left backs in the world. Yeah. You put her next to Alana Kennedy, next to Claire Polkinghorne, Ellie Carpenter, who's growing in that role. I think defensively she's had to learn so much, and she's getting better. She's still so young, we forget. You put Lydia Williams in behind them, and then you've got some seriously tough challenges to fill your midfield. You can put in Katrina Gorry. I'd love to keep Emily Van Egmond at holding midfield. You've got Katrina Gorry. You've got Kaya Simon when she's fully fit. And then you've got Sam Kerr up top with fresh Lisa Devana, or a Caitlin Ford and a Chloe Legazzo. Like, that is your top team. But he's had to challenge. He's had so many challenges. I mean, Caitlin Ford's been out with a foot. She's coming back from injury and trying to build up that conditioning, which is obviously she's got a bit of that playing at left back. So if all of our stars align, you've got a healthy, healthy 11. And you know, we got to see that at Asian Cup. And there wasn't so much rotation in that tournament. I don't think you're going to see that kind of rotation at a major tournament unless he has to.
And do you think there's much to tweak heading into the next 8 months?
I do. I think the challenge for Alan Stachic will be, you know, in 2017 we had the transformation of Sam Kerr, who turned into a superstar overnight. I mean, she always was, but she took a game another 10 levels that no one could match. And I think a lot of teams are starting to tighten up the space around her and really make it earn a lot more. So I don't think, you know, we're ever going to see that 2017 again. I think that our press and our defensive shape and discipline without the ball was absolutely the best in women's football. I think teams have watched a lot of video on us and really are starting to work out, you know, if you can find that extra player once, you'll be able to do it across each of the lines. And they're just going to have to keep adding to their game. And I don't think they've got to the level they want to with the ball at the moment. I've got to see that the past two nights. It just really struggled to be able to keep the ball for long periods of time to be able to build pressure on our opposition. So we've got a lot of work to do. I think that, you know, that huge year we had really made teams actually start doing their homework on us. And I think that unless we continue to evolve our game, you know, that defensive press is not going to necessarily win you games like it did.
Well, yeah, you highlight some good points. Not just our forwards are scoring goals, but our defenders like Claire Polkinghorne, which also makes the Matildas even more threatening.
Yeah, it does. I think they've just done so much work on their set pieces over the years, and we're a lot better in terms of the execution. And I'll never forget Alana Kennedy's last-minute header against Thailand to get us into the final at Asian Cup, which was just, it kept us on the edge of our seat. So the likes of Claire Pocky and Alana Kennedy to have centre-backs that actually can get up and win your games and attack the ball like they do. Alana Kennedy also takes some of our free kicks on the left, so it's become more and more apparent to me how important Alana Kennedy is to this squad. Because of two things, her amazing distribution from the back line. She's just so completely calm on the ball. And I don't know how, but it might have something to do with the fact she started as a midfielder. She's absolutely excellent with her feet, one of the best centre-backs with her feet. And she combines so well with Claire Polkinghorne. But it's not just that. When she's not in the team, it's that reshuffle that happens. It's meaning... I don't think Stach believes he has another centre-back to be able to replace her other than Steph Catley. So Steph goes in there and there's that reshuffle again.
Yeah.
So I think everything leads back to Alana Kennedy. You keep her there, she can play full 90. She can play deep into a tournament like that. And then you're allowed to be, you know, keep players where we like them.
And she's, as you touch on, she's so young and she's already had more than 60 caps for Australia. I feel like, you know, the Matildas are really coming into maturity at the right time heading into this FIFA Women's World Cup.
Yeah, they are. And you can't underestimate the amount of time that the core of this group has spent together. When I was around playing, they were just kids coming through and popping up at all different kind of levels in terms of their ability. You know, and it actually took Alana Kennedy a long time to actually find her place in the squad. And it's absolutely fair to say that, you know, she's one of the handful of players that I imagine Alan Stachic doesn't even have to think about when he thinks of the starting 11 there. It's just a given. I think she's grown up since she's been in the US, on and off the pitch. And she's become a very, very well-rounded leader.
And Sarah, touching on England, their coach Phil Neville labelled the Matildas as dark horses for France 2019, and he thinks that they'll be tougher opponents than even Brazil, which England faced and defeated on Saturday. Your thoughts on this, and also maybe where England are at the moment?
Yeah, I think England they have progressed their game. It was only a couple of years. There was a little bit of root football where they opted to go direct a lot more than they probably should have. The way they played out of the back, they're able to. I guess their passing also, the passing accuracy. I think I said this on air too. How quickly they shift the ball, their ball movement and. Movement off the ball, they forever have an option, and they were so good at actually finding that overlap, that extra player with space to be able to get in behind our lines. And admittedly, so we weren't great in the first half in terms of our defensive shape and discipline and picking up players or tracked runs. But they were, I don't think there's too many teams that they wouldn't have been able to break down with that kind of passing. It was great to watch. So I don't think they're a dark horse. I think they're a serious contender. I really, really do. I think them and France, obviously US and Germany. And what I like about England is they've got a lot of pacey, fast and powerful players too. You can see even their midfielders making forward runs. It's just done in a really aggressive manner. And I think that's how... Neville actually described our team, which is very true. We're quite physical, and we've got players over the park that can seriously break you down with one pass or that one-on-one dribbling with the ball. They're very, very similar, but I think they've taken their passing game to another level.
And touching on the game, just before halftime, there were a few controversial referee decisions. One where it was called offside, and the other where Phil Neville was saying it should have been a penalty. What did you make of both of these instances?
Well, yeah, I didn't have a great... We didn't have a great camera angle for the one that went over the line. But I guess if I had to put my house on it, it looked like it went over. And then the penalty, there was another one, there was an offside that we still don't know who was actually offside on that call. So there's two horrible calls. And then I thought the other pen was possibly questionable considering Caitlin Ford did get some ball. But there were two clear-cut goals that could have possibly opened things up for the Matildas. That was at least been 3-0 going into half time, and hard done by. But look, that's football. We've been on the back of those as well, and I think that it was quite disappointing. You can see for England because they created so many chances, and I think Natasha Dowie said it perfectly. You don't get that many chances in World Cup games, no matter who you play in your group stage. You're rarely going to build that many chances. If you do not put them away and take the decision off the referee, that could be the be-all and end-all, and could be the decisive moment where you don't go through. So I think they were a bit disappointed in themselves, but a lot to be proud of considering how well they dominated, especially the first half.
Sarah, finally, before I let you go, how does this affect our overall ranking now?
I haven't checked, but obviously the draw is a lot better than the loss that it was looking likely to be in the second half. Obviously the loss to France isn't great. I do believe the two Chile games will help out, but they're not higher ranked teams, so they're not going to be a lot of points. It will depend on the other teams and how they build up throughout their friendly coming up. But I do know, I think there's three, obviously France, who are hosts. They're in the top six. So there's that taken out. They've also got Germany and England. There's all the top, obviously, that they won't group European teams together. So we definitely want to stay top six. That's the aim.
Well, thank you so much, Sarah. It's always a pleasure to talk to you about the Matildas, and I look forward to speaking to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Louise.